Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all, and Happy New Year's 2025. Well, if you've already done that, one quick thing that happened last year on the last day of the year that I would love to announce is the birth of a new baby in our church from Ben and Christy Richard. His name is Oakley Matthew Allen Richard. He was born on the 31st, 10 pounds, 13 ounces. Which, if we're keeping track, is smaller than his sister. So just, you know, healthy competition started right there. He came in just after 11 a.m. Mom and baby are doing great. Everybody is home and exhausted, but he is a cute little boy. So, yeah, so I love announcing those. Those are really fun. So anyways, New Year's. I like the New Year's. I always find it really fun. Partly because, you know, the world has... Oh, we need to dismiss kids, and I totally forgot. So, kids, head on to the back left corner. Go learn about Jesus, and have a great day. Thank you, guys. Sorry about that. Okay, so New Year's. It's kind of like the whole world has agreed. You know, let's just wipe the slate clean, and let's just take a do-over. Because maybe last year, you know, wasn't... you know, perfect or great. But we all get to the new year and we're like, man, what are we going to do? What's going to be different? How are we going to change? How are we going to get better? There's so many things we could do. And we all just kind of take like a mulligan of the last year and just go for it. You know, maybe we make a resolution or two, take stock of the last year. So with that, did anybody make any resolutions, especially any that you're still holding 5 days in? And I also heard the joke that, you know, since New Year's didn't start on a Monday, we kind of get a grace period from Monday the 6th. So if you still want to make a change, you can start tomorrow. So just go for it. Of course, I'm kidding. There's this nonprofit company called Statista, and they took a survey of adults for top resolutions for 2025. And this is what they were in descending order. To save more money, eat healthier, exercise more to lose weight, spend more time with friends and family, and to finally kick that addiction, whatever that might be. And then at the very top of the list, 43% of adults said, nah, I'm not really going to make a resolution this year. Which, hey, good for them. They own it, and they're going for it. I don't know if this is funny or just sad, but by the end of January, 90% of those resolutions have been forgotten and given up. And by the end of March, we're down to 2% are left. So I find it as a really interesting case study, especially in America in human history, of the beginning of the year, because we all get a chance to start over. Gyms are packed to the brim. There's not a single treadmill or elliptical in sight that's open unless you get there at 3 a.m. in the morning. People are jogging on the streets. Produce aisles are empty, which is great. I mean, fantastic. This is crazy. Workout clothing sales go up 20 to 30%, and self-help books go up 30% at the beginning of the year. Social media influencers that are in the health and wellness space, their pages blow up with followers. It's just how it is at the beginning of the year. And so what this tells me, non-empirically as a not scientist, is that we want to change. Like there's a small piece of us that wants to change, or at least a little bit, we want to change. Meaning we know we need to change, but we don't want to do it yet, but we kind of want to do it. And so, you know, we have different influences coming at us, whether it's internal that we're like, man, we really gotta work on this, or it's outside voices, or it's influencers, or it's the media, or the 10,000 advertisements that they say we get every single day, which doesn't make sense to me, but I'm sure they're right. There's something in us that tells us we need to change. And whether that's a good or bad thing, it says, hey, there is something wrong with you. You can do better. There might be something that's broken, something that's not good enough, or maybe embarrassing or shameful, that they're like, hey, you should change this. It'll make you a better person. You know, and maybe in all reality, we need to move our body more, eat healthier, lean into those relationships with those people we love, maybe overcome that addiction. You know, those are all good things. There's nothing wrong with it, right? It's always good to do that. And there's got to be some of that personal responsibility on our parts. You know, I'm sure you've seen my boys barreling through the worship center the second church ends. And to keep up with them, you know, it's a little bit of my responsibility to make sure that I'm in decent health so they don't barrel over, you know, somebody or run into the street or whatnot and all that. I want to wrestle with my grandkids someday. You know, all those things are really good things to work towards and goals. You know, last year I had a goal of finishing my CCB license and testing, and I'm pleased to announce that that did not happen in 2024, but it did happen on January 1st, 2025, which is cool. So just a day late. Not to brag. But, you know, today I don't want to focus on areas that we think we need change in, because we get that enough. There are enough things coming at us that tell us something's wrong with you, you're not doing this good enough. And I don't think this space here at church is the place that you need that. The approach I'm going to take is the best thing that I have, is the Word of God. So if you have goals, that's great. That's awesome. I have goals. My wife has goals. A bunch of our friends have goals. Those are all great things. And I'm here to encourage you and pray you through those things if you need it. But today, let's spend some time in God's Word, reminding ourselves, just like we sang, and just like Darren and Jake said, we serve the same God. And I love how Darren put it. God doesn't have New Year's resolutions because he's already perfect. There's nothing he needs to change, nothing he wants to change. He wants what's best for us, and he would love to see us become more like him. But that's not the God that we serve. We serve a God who is perfect and just and loving and gracious and good. So today I want to plant the seeds of Scripture and remind you what Jesus has done, what he is still doing, and what he is yet to do in our lives, and his promises. So what does him being a same God look like? So I hope the Word encourages you, I hope it nourishes you, and it brings hope to your heart, mind, and soul. And like Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. So as we get into it, I want to start kind of at the beginning of where we started. Not in Genesis, but in one of my all-time favorite passages of Scripture. It's in Ephesians 2. And also, as I'm going through this sermon, I'm going to be throwing a lot of verses at you because that's the best thing I got. And so if you want a list of those verses, let me know. I'll email them to you. They're not going to be on the screen. There's a couple passages that I'll cue you into that you can turn to as I'm reading them, but a lot of it is just going to be promises of God sprinkled all throughout Scripture. So if you want those, let me know, and I'm happy to get this to you. So let's start in Ephesians 2, got that, verses 1 through 3. This is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So make sure you keep your finger there. We are going to come back to the next part of Ephesians 2. Because it's just so good. It's such a great path. As you get into it, the next verse that's what it's all about. But we'll get there. So what I want you to take away real quick is we were dead, we were following the world, and we were children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But even in this passage, even in the first few verses, there's some hope. And I want to point that out. The beginning of verse 2, and it says, in which you once walked. That's past tense. That's not in which you're still walking. We're not still walking in this because of God. So keep that in mind. Okay. Romans 3:23, beginning of the Romans Road, which some of you might be familiar with. It's just a group of five verses in the book of Romans that kind of leads us through the walk of salvation, which is pretty cool. So the first one, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then the next one in that passage, Romans 6:23, says, for the wages of sin is death. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And verse 10 of that chapter says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Some serious words. James 1:14-15, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. And finally, Colossians 3:5-7 says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these two, you once walked when you were living in them. And I want to point out the hope that is in that verse. In these two, you once walked when? Both past tense. Once walked and when? Things are different and things have changed. That's the hope that I want to point to. And I love that God does this all throughout Scripture. We believe here that Scripture is God-inspired, Holy Spirit-inspired with the authors who wrote the Bible. And he did it so intentionally and so beautifully. And you can see each author's own personality come through, particularly Paul. As I was studying a lot of the Scripture this week, a lot of it is the same. He takes the same patterns. And it's really fascinating that God is such a phenomenal author. He didn't just leave us hanging. He gave us a resolution. He gave us hope and love and grace. So, back to Ephesians 2, if your finger is still there. Starting in verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we may walk in them. And I've gotten the privilege of speaking on Ephesians 2 before. I know Jake and Derek have done the same thing because it speaks for itself. There's not a whole lot. There's so much good theology in there, but also you just read it and you're like, man, but God. And what I love about that, it's like all this bad stuff, sin and death and worldliness and children of wrath, and then there's like an iron wall that is just put down with the words but God on it, and it stops everything in its path. Even when we were dead, God didn't need anything from us. He didn't need like a signed letter of intent to follow, or he didn't need a commitment letter to say, yes, I am going to follow you at some point. And he's like, great, now I can take action. Absolutely not. That even when we were dead, Jesus died for us. And so from here on out, if you get nothing else, just go back and read Ephesians 1 and 2. That I can't do better than what Paul did, than what the Spirit wrote in Ephesians 1 and 2. Okay. Back to Romans 3:23, but we're going to do a couple verses around that. 22 through 24. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's that verse I shared first. And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. And we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. But we're justified by God's grace. It's his gift to us. It's his death on the cross. And we receive new life. We receive redemption. We receive a pure heart that God sees through Jesus. And he's like, oh, he's one of mine. He's one of my kids. Romans 6:23, starting in verse 20. Turn to that real quick. For when you were slaves to sin, you were free in regards to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the fruit that you get leads to sanctification and to its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, there's that verse, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We were slaves before. We were slaves to sin, and that leads to death. So that's one side. Now we are slaves to Christ, and that leads to life. And that process of sanctification is a fancy word we use here in the church, and it just means our progress throughout life, after we get saved, we're justified by his grace and his act on the cross. And sanctification is our process of becoming more like Christ as we live, as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, to change us, to be a better reflection of who Jesus is. And that leads to eternal life. Okay, 1 John 1, 8 through 10, which I read, but I skipped over verse 9 on purpose. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we proclaim our faith in Jesus, he will forgive us and make us clean and right in his eyes. Old self of sin, new self of righteousness. All because of Jesus, not by what we did, not because of works, so that no one may boast, so that we can't be proud of, oh, well, I was good enough, and God let me in, and he thinks I'm awesome. Woo. That's not it. It's all because of Jesus. Nothing we did. And I take a lot of comfort in that, knowing that it's not up to me. It's all because of him. And that takes some weight off of my shoulders. Okay, back to Colossians 3. At the beginning of verse 5, we read, put to death, therefore, what is earthly with you, earthly in you, and then we read that list. But starting in verse 12, Paul, writing to the church in Colossae, says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Before that, Paul tells us all these things, this list of the things we need to put off. We need to take off sin. We need to take off idolatry. We need to take off sexual impurity. We need to take off lust, jealousy. And he's like, put all these things off. Like, literally take it off and put it to the side and get rid of it. And then he says, instead, put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. Essentially what he says, he's like, hey, this is worship. This is your personal worship to Jesus. In Romans 12:1, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And that's what all that is putting to death our old self, consciously every day saying, I am not choosing all these sinful things, all these things that the world said is okay, all these things that come from the world, but instead he is saying, put on the things of Jesus. And so if you want 2025 to look different, if you want your new year to look different, look at your life and see, what do I need to take off? And what do I need to put on? You know, this reminds me in another part of Scripture in Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit, which is another list of the things that are born of us when the Spirit is living and active in us. And that list is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it goes on to say, against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. And so as children of God, as followers of Jesus, we put off the things of the world and we put on the things of the Spirit. And those two things often butt heads hard. Patience does not come naturally to some of us, but a quick tongue and anger might. Maybe you need a bit more kindness towards your kids or your spouse. Maybe just the word goodness is something that you haven't really taken hold of yet. Maybe you need more self-control. Maybe more faithfulness to your spouse and friends. And we belong to Christ. We have been changed from the inside out because of Christ. Because of his death on the cross, crucifixion, our flesh and our sin, our worldly desires, everything of the world was up there with him. He took it on himself because he knew no sin to die for those of us who have sin and to make us right. And just a few verses, if you go back in Galatians, the same chapter, Paul says, we are called to freedom. Freedom in Christ. Freedom to love and serve one another, not as permission to continue in our old ways. We're not free to continue to sin, but he's like, use your freedom to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. And so by seeing where we've been, old us, hopefully old year, God found us and chose us. And most importantly, what he's done for us and where he's taken us. Hopefully, new year, new you, Spirit alive and active, living in us. So last part, I call the sermon, New Year, New You, Same God. And so I want to read some promises of God that he put all throughout Scripture, Old and New Testament, about who he is. And that's how I want to end today. So I'm going to go all over the place. You can try to follow, but okay, here we go. Revelation 21:5, and he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Micah 7:18-19, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast out all our sins into the depths of the sea." Isaiah 48, "The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever." Isaiah 43:18-19, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Lamentations, Matt, what are you doing in Lamentations for something like this? Trust me, this is a great verse. Lamentations 3:22-23, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Philippians 4:19, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Isaiah 43:2, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you." Deuteronomy 31:8, "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not be feared or dismayed." And lastly, Revelation 21:4, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." In that first verse I started with, Revelation 21:5, "And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new." Our God doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He goes before us and behind us and all around us. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." We say that often. But that is right out of Scripture. And it is true as it's ever been. So if nothing else, as we walk into 2025, maybe you're stumbling into the year, maybe you are sprinting head on because you were like, "Let's go, I am ready." Or maybe things are just kind of status quo. Rest in these promises of God. New year, new you in Christ, because of Christ, same God as always. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today as we look to you, and we might look at our life and think, there are some things that need to change. There are some things that need to get put off. And there are some parts about my life that I need the Spirit alive and active in. Maybe we haven't given permission yet for you to do those things. I don't know what it is. For my friends. But God, bring some conviction. We know your Spirit is alive and well inside of us, and he wants to turn us more into Jesus. More like you, God. And God, no matter what we're going through, whether we're going through the waters or through the fire, Lord, it says we will not drown, we will not be burned, for you are with us. God, may we have comfort and rest and find that this year as we start out. If nothing else, God, may we start this year knowing you are with us. and you are unchanging. Father, we pray all these things in your name. Amen.